fear most in football staring you right in the face?
Mark Grody.
I call him a maniac. Stone maniac.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
He had to overcome the mystique. It was almost like an odor. He exuded a kind of a presence.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
His whole damn life was football. Wasn't driving a pretty car. Wasn't going to the local bar and pounding your chest, I'm the greatest. It was the opposite.
Mark Grody.
He was Moby Dick in a goldfish bowl.
Mark Grody with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Aw, yeah. Mark Grody has got your Bears hit. There's happenings at Halas Hall. And we are lucky to have Mark Grody join us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Bears.
Bears. Gentlemen, another jam-packed day out here at Halas Hall with a full practice today, which the media was allowed to get a glimpse of. Another open locker room session. I will take you into the Bears locker room a little bit later on in this Bears hit. Plus, Caleb Williams was headlining the interview room today, the lectern, if you will. Ben Johnson speaking in back-to-back days, which was cool. We will hear from him as well. The Bears had, in the glimpse that we were allowed to see in the practice today, they had three running backs in practice today on fields one and two. DeAndre Swift, Kyle Manungai returned, and Britton Brown was out there as well. No Roschon Johnson. He is still injured. As far as injuries are concerned, well, I'm not sure if it's an injury or not, but TJ Edwards, the Bears' best linebacker, was not spotted on the practice field today. That first injury report comes out tomorrow, so we won't have to wait much longer to get a little bit more texture on the Bears that may or may not be injured in some cases. As I said, of course, the headliner out here today is QB1, Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. And I thought this was really interesting today. I know we've all made, and justifiably, a big deal out of the Caleb Williams cadence and the pre-snap issues that have existed going back to last year. Cole Kmet said that Caleb has had no choice but to get better at the cadence. Kmet also said that the Kansas City game, I thought this was really interesting, that was one of his better games getting off of the football, and he said a lot of it is because of Caleb's improving cadence. So here is Caleb Williams himself with even more testimonials the way he calls it. Here's Caleb.
You know, you may have heard sound bites or whatever. Last year, cadence was a little different than obviously this year. So, you know, I think this year it's been awesome. It's been fun to use. Being able to, you know, hearing the other guys on the other side that hear me every single day for the past how many ever months we've been practicing versus our defense, come up to me like, you know, the cadence is getting strong. It's getting better. It's, you know, it's getting harder to decipher what and when the ball is going to be snapped and things like that. So it's, you know, positive feedback from the guys that hear me every single day. And being able to use it as a weapon is really important for us and our team. And, you know, getting those kind of things we call dirty yards in a way is, you know, something as small as a cadence, which is huge and important for us as an offense. But from the defense side, it's something as small as a cadence is, you know, getting us some positive yards to be able to help us, you know, either stay on the field or, you know, put us in advantageous positions.
So, look, that's nice. That's extra stuff. That's advanced level stuff, and you want your quarterback to be good at it. I would like him to not, you know, fumble the opening snap on an end around. You know what I mean? So, like, my bar's lower, I guess, right now. But should we expect Lawrence, him to be able to use cadence as a weapon?
Yes, I think that's a goal. And I think he did that. He did that earlier in the preseason.
In the good game.
Yeah, he was able to do that.
The Buffalo game.
It should definitely be a part of his arsenal. You're right, though, and they talked a lot about that at the fumble, that everything leading up to that was sped up. So that play got sped up.
Yeah.
And because of it, and that's why Ben has been so particular about all the stuff that happens inside of the huddle, getting the play to him quickly enough, getting the play to the rest of the squad out quickly enough, and then getting to the line and being prepared and not being rushed because of the play clock.
I also love the fact that the defensive players are complimenting him, because that may just sound like them saying it, but that's not true, because last year the defensive players were kind of saying the opposite. Remember Big Bill, Andrew Billings, just kind of torturing Caleb Williams during training camp with letting out the big screams and the yells. So to hear actual testimony from Cole Kmet, who, you know, never went out of his way to, you know, to say that everything was perfect with Caleb Williams. So to hear finally, guys, specific testimonials about it, as opposed to what we usually heard was, it's getting better. Oh, yeah, it's getting better. It's getting better. And then you talk to guys in the locker room. It wasn't necessarily getting better. Now these guys are offering it to them that it's getting better for Caleb Williams.
I don't know, Grody, and maybe you got a sense for it today, and maybe we'll hear some in the next cut. I don't know. But, like, how much control is Caleb going to be given at the line of scrimmage and during the course of the game? Like, is he a quarterback in full early on here in the Ben Johnson regime, or is he just going to run what Ben tells him to do? I don't know the answer to that yet.
And you know what, Spiegs? Nor does Ben Johnson. You know, and Ben Johnson is leaving it open. He, you know, and we'll get to Ben Johnson here in just a little bit too. But Ben Johnson basically said it's up to Caleb. But a lot of it's going to have to do with his preparation starting today, in the next few days, and what he's capable of. And the beautiful part about Ben Johnson is, you know, it's always a fluid situation. Ben Johnson is ready to adjust on a dime. And guess what? Caleb Williams was today talking about making in-game adjustments, you know, in general, but specifically against this very, as we know, very aggressive Brian Flores Minnesota defense.
The first part of it is, which we've talked about a little bit, is being able to understand that there's going to be a wrinkle with Flores, and understanding that when that happens, it's a wrinkle every single week for every single team, and trying to put his team and his defense in an advantageous position, and so being able to adjust to those and be level minded throughout the whole game is really important. And then from there, once you adjust, it's being able to go out there and execute, and even when things aren't in our favor, maybe the first quarter or second quarter, whatever the case may be, and that sense of we haven't adjusted fully yet, is being able to still execute our base plays and get positive yards, positive gain, keep us on the field, and not have negative plays.
Okay, so the in-game adjustment stuff, trying to work through all of that for Caleb, I think is, it's going to be a challenge, especially considering who they're playing this week. You know, like that to me is something that is fun to watch, is that how do you handle what they throw at you and then make sure you counterpunch so that you can have an advantage on the offensive side.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's why you get on coach versus coach and start to think about that and think about Ben dictating problems to Flores, and that's what he's done with better personnel, of course, in a lot of ways, but he dictated tempo and confusion to Flores with the Lions, and that's been very effective growth.
Yeah, no doubt he did have success, and quite frankly, Caleb Williams had more success against Minnesota than I thought he would last year. I remember the build up going into that first game, which was an overtime loss for the Bears. Like, we were all super fearful of what was coming at Caleb, but Caleb did a pretty good job. Had a couple of his a bunch of his best throws that he had in a Bears uniform, I thought, in that first quarter, where he had the back-to-back plays, one to DeAndre Swift, the other to Keenan Allen, and then that 27-yard dart in the fourth quarter. So Caleb actually did a pretty good job last year. And I thought it was interesting too, like, Caleb was talking about specifically the Viking safety, the always, the omnipresent Harrison Smith, who, by the way, is only 36 years old. Feels like he should be 45. But he talked about the cat and mouse game that he had with 22, as he called them, how Caleb would make an adjustment. Then Harrison Smith makes an adjustment for the Minnesota defense, and then he readjusts. So Caleb was kind of smiling and appreciating that was going on. I'm looking forward to seeing what Caleb has in terms of those adjustments, getting the line set up right. All of that stuff is just huge for Caleb Williams this year. So I thought that was very interesting. As far as Ben Johnson is concerned, the Bears head coach, speaking of the Minnesota defense, we're going to stay with that theme as we get closer to game day on Monday night at Soldier Field. But I brought up to Ben Johnson during his press conference today the complications in going up against two big-time edge rushers in Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkel, both capable of getting double-digit sacks for a season, which they did last year. So here is Ben Johnson on dealing with that. And I was specifically asked him about, how do you block all these guys?
Shoot, yeah. I mean, I think that there's more than that, too. They have Dallas Turner was a first-rounder a year ago that he's going to be coming to his own here year two. And then I think they really upgraded their interior defensive line as well. I think that gets overlooked a little bit between Jonathan Allen and Hargrave. So, you know, I think the beauty of the defense, once again, I said it yesterday, is they create a lot of one-on-one matchups. And when you have guys that they feel good about winning their one-on-ones, that it puts a lot of stress on our guys. But, you know, I think we know the task at hand. We'll see how practice goes here this week. And, you know, it's hard to have any breather plays this week. It's just the nature of how Flo calls it. And, you know, we got to be locked in if we want to have success against this defense.
So that defense to me is so fun to watch because of what you're bringing up there, Groats. They got a couple of Swiss Army knives. Van Ginkle's one of them. Metellus is another.
Yeah, Metellus.
They line him up everywhere from defensive line to strong safety.
Mm-hmm.
He plays everywhere. And having that type of versatility and having a guy like Byron Murphy, who's really good out there at corner, it allows you to do so many different things. And I hope that Ben Johnson's had a great record against the Vikings, but these aren't the Lions. And hopefully the Bears are in a place where they can handle all of the cat and mouse stuff that Caleb was talking about.
Run the ball.
That surely would help. You know, but even getting up to the line of scrimmage and thinking that you're seeing something that you're not seeing.
Snap the ball on time.
Damn right.
Mm-hmm. Good luck, everybody.
Spiegs, you were talking about you know, Ben Johnson and his adjustments and his process. And I think this cut I want to play for you guys from Ben Johnson will take you into that just a little bit, like literally what he is thinking this week and going into the game against Minnesota, which should give us a little bit of intel on how Ben Johnson handles this week to week. And of course, it was in the form of an offensive coordinator previously. But Ben starts talking about what is true. No matter how much we know about Caleb Williams, there's still a lot of mystery surrounding Caleb Williams. Here's Ben Johnson.
There is, of course, a giant unknown, but you know, I equate it back to when I was in high school, man, we'd go into game days and only throw it about five times. Now, we're a darn good team. We ended up winning state my junior year, but I always come out of the game, I'm like, shoot, why didn't we throw it more than that, you know, as a quarterback? And it goes back to, well, what did the week look like in practice? And so I think that's why the preparation, what it looks like on the field, is so important. I think we'll have a real good feel as a coaching staff what we're going to get out of Caleb on Monday night with how he approaches the next few days. And it's going to help dictate how I call the game as well. You know, how much we put the ball on really in his hands and on his shoulders to carry us through. Or, you know, it's everybody on this offense is going to have to carry the load at some point here this game. You talked about all the one-on-ones up front with our O-line, but I think our backs got to hold up in protection. Our tight ends got to be involved. Our receivers have to be physical. I mean, it's everybody here. So we'll see over the course of the week what that looks like. But, you know, I think since I became a coach, that's really – I go in early in the week, and, man, I have a lot of concerns about what it's going to look like on game day, and man, I don't know if this is going to work, blah, blah, blah. But by the time we get to the end of the week, I usually have a high degree of confidence in our guys because of how they've gone about their business, and I already feel that right now with this crew.
Man, I love how he is comfortable talking about what he doesn't know yet. You know, we've seen it a bunch during camp. Like, it's a process, and he's going through the process, and you don't got to pretend that you know stuff just to, like, keep your gravitas or keep your you know, your air of leadership. It's like there's power in admitting you don't know. He doesn't know yet how much he's going to be able to let Caleb do the thing. Last year, they were going to just let Caleb try to walk up and be Matthew Stafford, remember? Like, literally against Matthew Stafford and the Rams, we saw Caleb up there.
He actually was fairly successful game.
In that game, he was, but I remember being struck by, like, look how much they're letting him count guys and dictate and change plays and everything like that.
And he wasn't right all the time.
No, but here's Ben openly saying, I don't know how much I'm going to let him do that. I don't know yet.
Yeah, let's see how the practices go. Let's see how the game's going.
and then we can adjust.
Ben might be good enough that he doesn't need to let him do too much of that early on.
I think that's...
That's the idea.
I think that's the goal.
I think it's the goal is like to not have to ask the kid who's learning to save your freaking franchise.
You don't have to be Superman on every play. Like, live to fight another down. Throw the ball away. Be on time. And if you're on time with this offense and you go where you're supposed to go, the offense itself, with Caleb's ability, with his arm talent, they should be able to make some hay against defenses in the NFL.
And this is the whole thing. This is the whole thing that the season's about is like, you know, Ben limiting Caleb and Caleb accepting it. For the greater good and knowing that there's going to be plenty of time and plenty of opportunities for him to show the special.
Groats, guess what, man? We've already run out of time in this segment, but there's more stuff. So we're extending your segment.
How about that?
That's what we're doing.
Hey, if you guys are down, I'm down. I'll be here all day.
All right, good, because we got more stuff that we need to talk to you about, more Bears that we need to hear from, like DJ Moore, for example.
Two words.
We will do that coming up next here on The Score.
Ah, Grody.
Extendo Bears hit with Mark Grody because there's a lot as we head into the first game of the season, Monday night against the Minnesota Vikings on Monday Night Football. This seems like a really good time to remind you that tomorrow is our football season kickoff show in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. Dave wants that Olin Krutz will be with us in studio. That alone is enough. But then you add in that Troy Aikman is going to be on the show. And Steve Sciarippa, right? Is Steve Sciarippa on the show tomorrow, too?
Absolutely.
And we'll have a special NFL season debut version of Categories live. Maybe we should get a player or two from the crowd.
They can take my spot.
All right.
It's all brought to you
mine
by...
Mine, too.
All right.
And Alex's.
All right.
They can host.
All right.
It's all brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
We just decided as a show... I am hosting a version of Categories with three listeners from the crowd.
We did.
Tomorrow.
We decided that.
That's awesome. That, I love it.
I think that'll be fun as hell, Mark.
Yep. We decided
it. I'm the only one who thinks that.
Poor Spiegel. Poor Spiegel. Hey, man, you've done a great job of keeping Categories alive, though, man, even if you don't have the support of your teammates, dude.
Actually, they like it. Lawrence likes it, actually.
I do. I was fighting for it earlier today.
It was.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Some of this is theater. Some of it is theater.
It's Crack Slippers you're thinking of. Crack Slippers is the one
Slippers. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's when you were the and, right?
I was the show in the Danny Mac show.
That was the show.
Everybody knew it. If you're listening,
you were the show.
Closing up. Or was I the in the Danny Mac show? You couldn't.
I think
tell.
You always called yourself the, yeah. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
The good name. Is there a band called the
I was
the?
Just thinking that.
It's a damn good band. And they're back. That's Matt Johnson. In the singer and songwriter.
There is a the?
Oh, yeah. Infected is a great album. Mind Bomb is a great album after he had a brain aneurysm. That's a badass band. All right.
The? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's think of like repetitive names. How would you call that? Successive similar words? Yeah. The.
Grody.
How about the Bears, baby?
Bears.
Gentlemen, may I take you guys into the Bears locker room? Can I do that?
This is what we hope that you do with every Bears hit.
Absolutely. I love it. That's my favorite part of the day is getting into the Bears locker room. Some days are better than others. This was a really good day, I thought. And it's always fun to talk to the Bears wide receiver, DJ Moore. And one of the things that Ben Johnson has been saying, sort of, you know, in a joking way, but sort of serious too, is that, you know, he loses sleep trying to figure out how he's going to get the ball to all of these potential weapons. So DJ Moore was asked about equal distribution for all the receivers. And there's a DJ Moore comp that you will hear about this as well.
Just how have you seen Caleb distribute the ball where he's not just locking in on one guy, but it seems like he's trying to evenly get you guys all the ball?
I don't know if it's going to be even. I mean, he got to go through his progression. Whoever opens the fastest, I mean, we all are racing to get it to a certain spot in our progression. And if one's not open, two not open, and he got to get all the way back to four or five, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. Whoever gets the ball just got to make something happen.
Do you think this will be the most ways that you've been used in an offense under Ben this year?
Maybe. I don't know. You can't tell everybody everything into the media. Everybody see this, so I don't know.
Have you heard the Debo comparisons?
I have heard the Debo comparisons. You know, you can't get away from it, not with social media. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Is that a fair comparison?
Nah, I'm myself. I love Debo, but I'm myself.
But just in the way that, like, you know, he's in the backfield, he's out wide, he's in slot. Like, is that what you like, to being able to be everywhere?
I mean, just to get the ball in my hands, I want to say yeah, but being compared to Debo, you know, he was doing it at a high level and still is, so I just got to get my feet wet and going.
Man, DJ Moore, that twinkle in his voice, I can only imagine there was a twinkle in his eye. At the beginning of the exchange, he was like, I can't tell you everything.
Oh, he was twinkling. He was twinkling in there. And you're right. I love that part, that because that is the way towards the end of last season, they started to figure it out with DJ. Just throw the ball to him. Let him run 2 yards. Throw the ball to him and see what he could do. Hand the ball off to him, which they did do some last year. I got to imagine, you know, that DJ Moore could be the most important receiver, at least early on with this Bears team.
I wish, though, that it almost felt like he took the Debo comp as a slight. So I'm glad that they kept following up with it. And it's like, no, that's a good thing to be.
Yeah, for sure.
Versatility is awesome.
But, you know, look, man, I'm so excited and intrigued by what Ben Johnson's going to do.
I'm so scared.
That's our show. Good night, everybody.
Don't be afraid, Lawrence. Don't be afraid.
That's
okay. You've been hurt before. I know.
Someone got that. It went above everyone else's head, but someone got that.
I thought you were doing the good vibes and the worry.
I was the whole thing, and eventually texters and people in the Twitch would be like, I know exactly what Lawrence just did.
Got you.
The show works on many levels.
I got to say this, though. The first part of that answer when he's like, I'm not about it, you know, about equal distribution. He'll just be going through his reads, and it is what it is. I love that about DJ. Like, he has not been historically the diva wide receiver who demands the ball and wants the ball and gets pissed off. He certainly hasn't had that reputation. There seemed to be an understanding there of got to go through the progressions and we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe he gets grumpy, you know, behind the scenes that we don't know about. But certainly getting the ball in the backfield could help with that as well if he feels like he's getting utilized in that way.
Get that man some touches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think grumpy is a good word to use. I mean, there was a grumpy moment last year where he went out of bounds and he said, finally admitted, you know, he shouldn't have done that, said that that's not going to happen again. I just love that T.J. Moore said, first guy to get open. First guy to get open, you're getting the football. And who knows, maybe it will be something like that. And you know,
I'm sure it pleases him.
Oh, it please what pleases me? What? It's so good, man. It is just the best. Pleases me? It doesn't weeder using weird words like that. Mm-hmm. DJ Moore also, like, this is
let's
this
go, Grody. Very... We can't give you a third segment. Let's go.
I mean, we can.
We could, actually.
This is what I'm going for. More on Caleb Williams with DJ Moore.
What are you expecting out of Caleb Williams in terms of improvement relative to last year and into this?
His leadership to go up another notch and then his play to go up another notch. You know, he's got the offense down pack and he just got to go out there with the keys that he has to his offense and just produce.
Where do you think his skills will go up this year in terms of, you know, throwing the football, everything?
I mean, we got a lot of playmakers out there now. So, I mean – you just choose who you want to go to, and then we can make him look good after that. So, I mean, we try to take a lot off his plate, but at the same time, he is the quarterback, so he just got to go out there and do his thing.
You feel like you two can hit the ground running this year as opposed to last year, where it took a little while to get the chemistry on the field up?
I don't know. We're going to have to see. Like I said last year, you don't know until you really start hitting the ground running and seeing where everybody's at.
We got to do it the Caleb way, and that's that.
Right. Well, they're doing it Ben's way.
They both are doing it Ben's way. It goes back to the Roma Dunze stuff.
Yeah,
we were playing earlier. Everybody's just got to do it Ben's way. That's kind of freeing, really.
Yeah. Hey, guys, it is Ben's way, and we might talk about this tomorrow. I'm going to be with Raheem and Harris, and that is – and Weider had a talk with the guys – was it – I think it was with
– Mully and Hall.
Yeah, with Ben Johnson. No, it was with Ben Johnson – and he shared with me on Friday when the two of us hosted together that what Ben Johnson is still saying is that Caleb's got to come to me. Like he's not necessarily going to go to Caleb. Now, he's going to work with Caleb, and he's not going to make Caleb uncomfortable. But he did say, look, if we want this to work, in other words, he's not going to dumb this thing down. You know what I mean? It's not going to be like the idea is to not take away half the field like with some of his predecessors. And I think back to Mitch Trubisky more than anybody with that. But that is a turn in terms of just admitting that the quarterback has to come to him, and DJ Moore knows that as well. Cole Kmet, gentlemen, spoke today.
Yeah, let's talk some 12 personnel.
Yeah, baby. I figured you'd like that, Lawrence. But Cole Kmet talked about, yeah, him and Colston Loveland being on the field at the same time, two tight ends, and how that's going to work out.
I mean, obviously, Ben's done this before on very high-level offenses, and, you know, the goal is to get 70-plus plays in a game, so we're running a ton of plays, and when you do things like that, you're moving the ball, a lot of different guys will be able to get the ball in their hands. So excited about that, and I know if we all execute all together and, you know, on plays that you're not getting the ball, you're blocking, running downfield, it'll all work out for us for sure.
What excites you about getting to play alongside him and how you guys could potentially be used?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Colson's great. It's been getting to know him. It's been a lot of fun. Consider him now a really close friend, and it's been cool to see him grow throughout camp too. You know, adjusting to the physicality of the NFL is a different beast, but I've been really impressed by how he's handled himself, mainly in the run game and those type of deals and being physical in his routes. So that's been a lot of fun to watch, and I'm excited for him this year.
When you were a kid, or when you were a rookie, how long did it take you to kind of be in the right place at the right time?
I was a kid, wasn't I? Yeah, it takes a bit. I mean, for me, it took a bit, but I had Jimmy Graham yelling at me all the time, and, you know, when you want to impress somebody, you find ways to make it right. I think that's the biggest thing. You know, as a player, you always want respect from the peers in your locker room, and all three of those guys take a lot of pride in earning guys' respect, and when that's the case, they're going to do everything they can to know the playbook, know their job, and know that thing in and out.
Man,
that's how long Cole's been here. He was teammates with Jimmy Graham.
I love that, Lawrence. We love that stuff, you know, like the aging tight end helping the kid. We just had it. We were talking about it with Greg Olsen.
With Dez Clark.
It's exactly right that Greg said Dez was like the dude who took care of him, and how much Dez loved that. Good on Cole. Good on Cole. And he and Colston they consider each other good friends now.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. Like they're working very closely together. And
look, Cole can eat in this offense along with Colston.
100%. 100%. And it's knowing that there's room for both of you. There's plenty. And guess what? Life is long. You know, one of you could be playing for somebody else in a couple years, too. You never know.
Jimmy Graham.
Might as well be a good person because it comes back around. And then one of them can hire the other. You might end up teammates with another down the line. That's how it works.
Lawrence, doesn't it feel like it was just yesterday that we would watch a Bears game when Cole Kmet was a rookie and everybody would be screaming why he wasn't on the field and why Jimmy Graham was playing on the field for the Bears? I remember that drill. Like, nobody wanted Jimmy. We got a rookie second rounder who played at Notre Dame and is from Chicago. How dare you put Jimmy Graham on the field for so long? And Matt Nagy would even admit, yeah, I got to find a way to get him going out there. But it does take time to learn the position. And I also thought it was interesting too. He only mentioned it once there in the cut that I played, Cole Kmet, that is, but he did mention a couple more times about the physical nature of the NFL. We know how physical Cole Kmet is, so it's interesting that he found it hard to adjust to that, because it seemed like to me that was Kmet, like right out of the chute, he was knocking guys down and wouldn't go down when he caught the football. But he's not as big of a body, Colston Loveland, so I do think the blocking portion is going to take a little time for Colston Loveland to catch up with.
Yeah, the inline stuff might take a little bit longer, but he does have the long levers, and that might help him in that regard. And we'll see. I think there'll be some movement blocking with him where you're going to see the whole package be put on display and allow him to use all of the gifts to go and get defenders. Speaking of defenders, I am fascinated, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. While we talk about Brian Flores versus Ben Johnson, that's the sexy matchup. The idea of Dennis Allen versus J.J. McCarthy is also an interesting matchup. Has KOC done a good enough job getting JJ ready for what it is? Because the same type of conversations we're having about Brian Flores, folks on KFAN are probably having about Dennis Allen. What is he going to do to try and confuse JJ McCarthy and make his life uncomfortable?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, the answer to which we don't know. I mean, we can speculate on some of the things that he might do in disguising his defense and bringing pressure from unique places if he can't get it up front and the two guys on the end in Montez Sweat and Dio Odangbo. But Jaquan Brisker is an interesting part of this, too. You have full, healthy Jaquan Brisker getting ready to play in this game, and he could, like Kyler Gordon. We talked about Kyler Gordon being used differently and in different places. We could see some of that with Brisker. And make no mistake about it, Brisker believes that they will rattle the rookie quarterback, J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, just playing our type of defense. Don't do too much. Don't be Superman. Just playing our defense, and eventually he will force one, whether it's in the air or it's on the ground. I know it's going to come out at some point, and that's the type of defense we have, and I'm confident in what he has been called. So.
Okay.
Ball's coming loose. It's coming out.
Let's,
I love that.
Let's go.
Yeah.
You got to be careful what you say.
Brisker likes to set the precedent high. He always has, man. He
gotta
always has.
Got to be careful. Don't want to add a little extra. But it's fine.
Yeah.
I like the confidence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, and this is one of my nuggets here.
Nuggets, tidbits.
Yeah. It just flows perfectly into it, actually. Yeah, gorgeously.
The style, the grace of Mark Grody.
Flowing robes.
Hey, man, I want the full hour. Really, this is what I'm auditioning for with you guys right now. So Brisker, he was you guys remember about a week and a half ago and the reports of, and I was not out here for the record, but I read the reports too that Jaquan Brisker walked off the field alongside the trainer, Andre Tucker, presumably some sort of injury. And of course, we all get afraid when we hear that. But Brisker said, very subtly, it was just a personal issue. That's what he said. Yeah, it was just a personal issue as he walked off the field. I hope that is the case. And I guess being that he was out there today practicing, that was the case. So that was good to hear. I hope the personal issue is okay, not to downgrade that. I don't think I mentioned in the beginning, I probably should have, Jalen Johnson was out on the practice field today. Don't know if he was limited in any way. My guess is that was the case, but saw him putting on the pads in the locker room, and he did go out there and practice. And lastly, tomorrow, this is the first time I got to be a part of this on the Take the North podcast. We did our predictions show, which we play back apparently at the end of the season so we can all look bad. Here were the categories really quickly. Record for the Bears, team MVP, breakout player, most disappointing player, signature win, and who is taking the North, who is winning the division, plus Super Bowl matchup and winner. The episode drops tomorrow on all those categories. This was difficult, but the three of us, Wiederer, Studzinski, and myself, went through it, and we all gave our answers on that. So I suggest that you check it out if you want to make fun of our predictions.
That is outstanding. So check out the next Take the North pod for all of that. Yeah, just to recap, so Jalen Johnson did practice. Kyle Manungai was out there as well, right?
Yes. Yep, Manungai was out there. Britton Brown was out there, too. The only running back of consequence that wasn't out there, Spiegs, was Roschon Johnson. No Roschon today.
Okay.
All right. So there's going to be categories on the Take the North podcast and categories on Spiegel and Holmes tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah. For the most part, that is the case. And like I said, it's a very complicated season for predictions because it's sort of like the Vikings. It's sort of like their opponent. You just don't know what you're going to get from the quarterback. He could be great. Caleb could come out and be like, the hell with all this conservative. We're going to have a slow start, just run the ball. And, we got to reassess at the bottom. He might be great. Who knows? But it's such a tough call when that position is so important.
Wouldn't that be great? Like, if it all clicks.
Yeah.
If it all clicks on Monday night and things look like maybe there's a couple things that you want to improve on, but if it just looks good for people, how what that'll do for everyone.
Yeah, that's a template that we got to set, and we'll have some time to do that on the Monday of that game. Like, what are we watching for? Is it as simple as win-loss? I don't think it's quite as simple as that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll leave you guys with this. Lawrence, to your point right there, as Ben Johnson, I almost said Ben Brown again, Ben Johnson brought up, you know, the unknown. There is the unknown, and the unknown could be that Caleb Williams blasts off and he becomes what we all thought he would be when he came out of USC.
That'd be something.
Mm-hmm.
It Bears, would Grodes. Be Bears.
Bears. By the way, my Super Bowl prediction, Bears.
Well, no, Grody's going to come on the next segment. He's going to predict every NFL postseason award. So hang with us.
That's what we're going to do with that.
Also, Mr. Mister is another band with
good.
Yeah. Duran Duran.
Oh, you're killing it right now. Keep going. You're winning this category.
That was a Twitch mob. I went back and said Twitch mob was on it. Lisa and the Cult Jam. There we go.
So good. Uh-huh. So good. I love
There's a documentary about them.
Lost in Emotion.
Although, I believe Cult Jam is upset. No, Full Force is upset because they're not a part of this documentary. Because they played a big role in Lisa's career.
Hmm.
And they're like, that's funny how we weren't a part of the documentary. But, you know, it bees like that sometimes. Grody, you're the man.
Yes. How can I be the man when you're the man? How is that possible, Lawrence and Matt? You guys have a great day. Always a pleasure
talking to
you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Gotta take me a beer. That's Mark Grody. He covers the Bears for us. When we come back, Spiegs mentioned something, and Tanny went and found it. And it has to do with changing voices and something that happened here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
It's honestly incredible. Nothing. He didn't have to do anything.
In other words, Kawhi Leonard got from Aspiration a $28 million no-show job.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm honestly so jealous. So jealous. I mean, he's got the dream. Like, it's within my beliefs to be paid $28 million and do absolutely f*** all as well.
That's from Pablo Torre Finds Out. They had to protect the identities of the innocent. So they did that.
James Gum in Silence of the Lambs, not innocent.
All right, so to whiteboard this for people. Spoiler alert. Yeah, Speaks.
Oh.
You're getting on Marshall today. Jeez, like, look at you.
Sorry. I went a little older. Plus, you can kind of see it a mile away. Let's be honest.
So whiteboard this for people on how we got to this place. And for those that are just tuning in on what this is a call back to.
Okay, so that voice being doctored the way it was on the Pablo Torre podcast obviously made Tanny laugh. And then we heard it and we started to laugh. And then Tanny said, you know what it reminds me of? And I jumped in and finished his sentence for him. Because our friend and former colleague here, David Schuster.
I saw Shu the day you sang the anthem. He was really proud of you.
Oh, that's cool.
Shout out to Shu. That's my man.
He's a lovely guy. He's a lovely guy. He's come out to see Tributosaurus before. One time I was hanging in the green room with his son at Tributosaurus. We had a great night. David's a good man.
And thorough.
So this is 2019.
Okay.
Gambling just became legal in Illinois.
That's right. I forgot the context of this.
That's awesome context. So 2019, gambling is legal, but, you know, people know you got a bookie. Like, all these guys who you used to meet behind the gas station and give a paper bag to, these people, what's going to happen to them? You know what's going to happen to their livelihood? So David talked to one and doctored the voice and played large portions of it on The Score.
I caught up with a gentleman who we will call Vincent for this exercise. Vincent has been a bookie for almost 35 years, and for the record, he doesn't call himself a bookie, but rather a betting engineer. Catchy name. My initial question to Vincent, who we altered his voice so as not to be recognized, was how did he get into this enterprise?
My father was a betting engineer, and I had a lot of friends that liked to bet, and I didn't start out that way. I knew a bookmaker, and I ended up passing off all the action that my friends wanted to him, and after about 3-4 months of this, I realized I kept paying this guy money all the time. So I just said, screw it, I'll just do it on my own for myself.
Picturing both Vincent and David Schuster dancing.
Look,
they're in front of the mirror.
In cadence. I'm going to need everyone to focus here. In cadence.
Good luck.
There's a little Brad Biggs in there.
Oh, are you saying? Whoa, man. Who could be better at running a book? Or excuse me, being a betting engineer.
No. I'm not saying that Brad Biggs is a bookie.
That sounds like that's what you're saying.
I'm saying the way that the audio is engineered.
The facts are emerging as a wagon.
There's a little bit, like just a touch of Biggsy in there.
Instantly, I was captivated by this conversation, so I asked a series of questions like, how many clients do you have?
I started out, with just a handful, and it rose up probably after a few years to like 50 was my type. Was my top. And starting at 50, you start to decrease because players lose too much money. They go somewhere else because of bad luck.
And I don't want to bring up a topic that's going to make Mr. David upset, but his guy, Colson Montgomery...
It's in the cadence. It's not even in the voice.
I hear some of the cadence. I hear what you're talking about. But Vincent sounds like, I don't know, he's got a pituitary gland issue or a thyroid gland issue.
Well, the beautiful thing about it is that we protected Vincent's identity.
I think so.
And finally, a bookie or betting engineer doesn't have to rely on his athletic prowess to stay in the game or his singing voice to do the same to go on forever in his career. So does Vincent have an exit strategy or a timetable?
I've thought about it, but at this point I'm retired from my regular job that I had. I enjoy it. I don't think there's any victims here that I... consciously know of, and I think all the people that I deal with are people that would bet anyway somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I don't have a moral issue with it.
You can go down to the same linebacker store.
Of course, the only victim is Tanny. You know who the victim is.
The listener.
That's it. Those are the only victims here.
I think people quite enjoyed that.
Oh, that was amazing. Oh, Vincent. I hope you think Vincent's doing all right?
I was thinking about that. Like, that's 6 years ago. I wonder if Vincent's still with us.
I don't know.
I wonder if his business is still okay.
Hey, man, yeah. How's Vincent doing?
The thing is
that... And has the glandular issue cleared up at all? They didn't doctor his voice a bit. That's just what he actually sounds like.
That guy still exists. Even if, no matter what you have, like, that guy still exists. Like, he's found a way to exist.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people probably just still enjoy to do it that way. You know? And maybe that's...
For the older part of our demo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy still exists.
You're telling me that's why maybe some of these places are still running commercials?
Yeah.
They want to convert that guy.
Well, I think they're probably running commercials to get to the younger part of our demo. But the older part of he's been your guy for 30 years.
Yeah.
He's probably still your guy. You know?
Yeah. I just hope he's healthy. Hope he's healthy and he's doing all right.
All right, we got to go.
All right, we got to go.
Now you sound like Big Cat.
That's another people thought it was James Williams that was doing might have that. Been.
Ball game. No Pete Crow Armstrong in the Cubs lineup. Again, you'll hear why from Zach Zabin and Pat and Ron.
Cubs baseball on the score is next.
That's it. All right, guys. Didn't mean to bother you.